The truth shall make you free, but first it shall make you angry. Robert Greene.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
More. A yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
No. Years of yakking each other.
We're here to yak at you.
Sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Hope they did.
I know I've had a pretty good week.
Really?
Well, with the exception of today, I got really frustrated today.
Really? I would have disagreed for the rest of the week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in comparison, the rest of the week was tame compared to today.
Okay, where are you going with this?
The nomination and confirmation of Betsy DeVos.
Oh, God, don't even get and me then, started on that.
And then Senator Jeff Sessions as our AG.
You know, but honestly, does any of that really surprise you? I mean, as crappy and as I can't think of another word, how awful that is, but does it really surprise you?
DeVos actually does surprise me.
Really? Not me.
I came down to a 50-50 vote. Right?
Yeah.
And she did so poorly on her interview, I wouldn't have hired her to teach preschool.
Every interview she's had, she has sucked royally.
It's just ridiculous.
She doesn't know her ass from a hat.
I know that.
I mean, truly, she doesn't. And yet she's going to run the education of this country.
Yeah. That's,
go figure.
That's scary.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Trump's putting pretty much the polar opposite of every position he's filling.
I know that.
So in that aspect is why it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, I see that. I was just hoping she wouldn't get confirmed. I figured there might be one
decent thing in this whole crazy town thing.
Yeah, one decent Republican that would go against his party. There were actually two that voted against her. Just one more. One more would have done it.
Yep.
But no, Pence got the final vote.
I kind of knew he was going to. I don't know why. I just did. And I already knew where he was going to go with that. Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me
at all. Pretty much a given.
Wow. Anyways,
on with the actual show stuff.
That would be a good idea.
So first off, let's do some Twittering.
Twitter.
So we have Moonster Music, Richard E. Wackrow, Andrea Morris, Quadcast Courtney, Unique Beauties. This is going to be a fun one. Xiao Feng.
I hope you got right.
I did Google that.
Uh-huh.
And I got the pronunciation.
All right. Well, hopefully it sounded the way they wanted to.
Because it's actually written in Chinese.
Yeah. Hopefully it's correct.
If not, let me know.
Oh, yeah, because he butchers everybody's name, so.
And then the Ginger Snaps.
Interesting.
Which is a cool trans podcast that just started following us.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. Cool.
Anyways.
Yes, dear.
I wish we had some iTunes reviews. That would be fun to read.
C'est la vie.
Yeah. Oh, well. Next time, hopefully.
Okay. We'll make sure.
Yeah. All right. I suppose we'll get to some actual news.
Yeah, that's usually how the show goes.
The governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, has declared February 12, 2017 as Darwin Day in the state of Washington.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, I tried this last year and I got in too late for the declaration.
I was going to say, it's been tried for several years.
Yeah, and we finally got it this year. The proclamation request was submitted by Rebecca Friedman on behalf of Humanists of Washington as part of the nationwide effort spearheaded by the American Human Association and the Secular Coalition for America. Her text was adopted by Governor Inslee and highlights the importance of scientific discovery, intellectual bravery, and hunger for the truth. Inslee concluded a proclamation by encouraging all people in the state to join him in this special observance.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's nice to see that it finally went through after all this time.
Yeah, Darwin Day is a pretty big deal in the atheist community.
And I think it's pretty cool that Becky got to be the one to do it.
Yeah, Becky Friedman.
Yeah, that's really cool.
The Humanist Washington, which I happen to sit on the board of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, speaking of Darwin Day stuff.
Yes.
Join us in celebration of Darwin Day, February 12th at noon at Semena Swim and Country Club. Learn about evolution of wings and more.
Now, this is a new location from its previous years,
that
correct?
That is true.
Right.
So it's on the east side instead of downtown Seattle.
Oh, okay.
It'd be a lot easier to get to for us, a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
Harder for some people, but
yeah,
it's a game we play.
Correct. And of course, you know, it's for someone who's locally able to get there.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to fly in and, and join us at Darwin Day, that's wonderful. Go ahead.
Some serious commitment right there.
It is. Games, crafts, activities for the whole family. Come enjoy the casual social gathering to commemorate Charles Darwin and his great scientific contribution. Yeah, get over it. Special guest, Jonathan Tweet, author of Grandmother Fish, the first book to teach evolution to preschoolers.
And it's a very good book. I really liked it.
Yeah, I'm assuming he'll be there signing books if you have books you want signed.
Isn't ours already signed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Wear your ring. Your...
Which ring?
Wear your wings and get a prize.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there'll be games, prizes, crafts, music, sing-alongs.
I have a question.
Okay.
Any wings?
Any wings. It's all about wings.
Hmm. Interesting.
You have some...
I have American flag butterfly wing.
Oddly appropriate.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be. I'm going to go craft some leather dragon wing. See where they fit in evolution.
Well, if it was closer to Halloween, you feather wing, you get all kinds. You can go down to
Party City. They have them right now.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. There's a plug for Party City. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
I expect money, Party City.
Yeah, that'll happen. There'll be a check in the mail.
Because they pay me every time I say it. That's
yeah,
why.
Sure they do. Party City, Party City.
Brought to you by Party City.
Featured. Party City. Move on.
Okay, you get to learn about Camp Quest and local secular groups. There will be pizza and cake, but it is a potluck, so please bring something.
Yes, potluck means everybody bring what you know, a dish that we all swap.
And donations are accepted to help support Seattle.
You just cannot do it.
It's been a
rough
day.
You've chirped like several times, and I haven't called you on every one, by the way.
I know that. Support the Seattle atheists who are actually sponsoring this event.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. Exactly. I'm looking forward to it.
I got to figure out what I'm bringing. Don't even say it. I'll decide later.
And I might live, but I ain't. You listen to the podcast. I'm going to learn you something. And no, I ain't talking about how to marry your cousin and not have kids with 16 fingers and stuff like that. I mean, I actually talk about real stuff and teach people where the Bible stole its stories from. Y'all give me a listen, would you? Thank you.
All right. I have some more news.
Okay. That's like,
this one's a bit more disturbing. Not as much fun.
Oh, okay.
But still stuck in Washington.
Really? What is up with all the Washington stuff?
Kind of local. Okay. We had a lot of local stuff going on.
All right.
Currently, the Washington State Constitution bans the use of public money with this language in the Constitution, by the way.
Yeah.
No public money or property shall be appropriated for or applied to any religious worship, exercise, or instruction, or the support of any religious establishment. Makes sense, right?
Of course.
Tax money can't go to churches.
Right. Simple.
But Republican Senators Melosia, Bumgarner, Oban, Becker, and Bailey, and Warnick want to amend the Constitution to remove that language.
Really?
Really.
It's just a free-for-all, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Not only that language, but they want to remove this, which is a little more disturbing.
Okay.
Provision shall be made for the establishment and maintenance of a system of public schools free from sectarian control, which shall be open to all children of said state.
Really? So they want to be able to get the church back in public schools?
Correct.
Now, is this local?
This is Washington State.
Okay.
These are our elected officials.
Backwards.
And like I said, I'm glad I've got unlimited minutes because I'm going to be calling a lot of elected officials this year, I think.
Do they even work?
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, seriously, where do they, what time of do they think we're in? I mean, we're so going backwards, it's like stupid.
Yeah, it's like,
in everything.
It's like going back to pre-19... Oh, what was it? 1950,
yeah, I was gonna say 51,
52?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, if passed, it would allow state funds to go to religious organizations and allow for public schools to be religious in nature, allowing public funds to go to them. So we're going to be able to subsidize churches,
right,
and religiously based schools.
They are so hoping now, we go now, back in time.
Now, think about that. We just confirmed DeVos.
She's making this almost a possible reality.
Right, between this constitutional amendment, because the state constitution wouldn't allow it even if the federal wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
So they get rid of this. They have DeVos on Secretary of Education,
right,
who wants to bring back theocratically run schools and put the Bible back in school and have charter schools, which would include, and the voucher system, which would include being able to pay to private religious schools.
Right.
So you put all that together, right?
Right.
And you end up with this Bible-based church system or school system.
Can you imagine? I mean, truly, our kids are going to be graduating this year and next year. And, you know, that's only, what, the rest of this year. So that's like nothing. And then our twins will be seniors next year. But after that, there's still like 3 more years of school she can do damage to the public system.
Yeah, it's going to take a year for any of this to go into effect, right? Of course. Right?
So it'll mostly be in effect after our kids. Damage of the next generation is mind-boggling.
It'll take them 10 years to fix this if it goes through. Because they'll have to do another constitutional amendment to fix something like this if it goes through.
I can't believe it's even on the table. I mean, it's like you could pretty much just say, hey, I want to do this, and we'll bring it up and we'll deal with it. And is back to medieval times and keep them as dumb and uneducated as possible is where they want to get to. Right.
Now, there's one more thing that they want to do with this constitutional amendment. They want to add some language to the Constitution. It says, this article shall not be construed as to prohibit religious affiliated organizations from receiving or competing for, on the same basis of non-religious organizations, public money or property, nor shall it forbid employment by the state of any position or a person based on their religious beliefs. Okay, I'm fine with the last part, right? Mm-hmm. You can't forbid because they're somebody's religious belief. However, what does bother me is that they will be able to apply for public money, even their religious organization.
All of that doesn't make sense.
So it's allowing, again, it's an obvious route to employ to get tax dollars into religious schools. That's what this is designed to
do. Right, they want to get funding for religious schools. That's what it comes down to. I find the whole thing unbelievable that we're even having the conversation, I'd say.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you would have never, say, 4 years ago, would have never thought this would actually be on the table. That it would even be possible to put on the table, because you wouldn't have think that, you know, our government would be stacked in the way that it is to make this actually a possibility. That's the scary part.
Right. It's stacked with oligarchs and theocrats.
Right. I mean, I still constantly, every once in a while, think I'm in a cartoon or a dream, and, you know, we'll all snap out of it and it'll be reality, you know, because like this all feels fake to me.
It does.
I don't know how else to describe it. It just feels really fake.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more frustrated with what is going on every single day.
It's exhausting.
It is. And my biggest fear is that we burn out. And we just don't want to do it anymore.
And just kind of like.
And I think that up. I think that's their plan, is to burn everybody out as soon as possible, and then everybody's like, "Yeah, let them do what they want."
Figure they'll get bored and stop fighting and protesting, right. And what have you.
Well, I don't plan on stopping.
No, of course not. But I think the crazy from the get-go, and it's ongoing.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's no wonder the rest of the world looks at us like we do.
Yeah.
I mean, we're freaking nuts right now.
Yeah, we are.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol car? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Yeah, I got some more news.
Okay.
And this is even worse.
It just gets better.
Well,
hits keep coming, I should say.
Oh, yeah. So I call this one Trump's Johnson move.
I knew that.
That's what it's called, because it's a pretty dick move.
Yeah, but that's a pretty bad pun. You know that, right?
I don't care. I got to get my pun in.
Okay, if you say so.
Anyway, I really want to do a real Potter this week, but Trump has trumped all other Potters this week.
Uh-huh.
With words from the prayer breakfast.
And just to mention, because we have an interview on this episode, officially a Potter Award.
I know, correct? But that is correct.
We don't usually do Potter Awards but reviews.
I'm aware of that.
But we couldn't let this go, so. Yep.
And it's some words he said during the prayer breakfast, right?
Okay, fine.
And those words are, I will get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment and allow our representatives of faith to speak freely without fear of retribution.
And you should mention what the Johnson...
You read the show notes, you would know that.
I don't read show notes. That's your four. You just explain it to me right before. And I'm like, okay, excellent, great, let's go.
Yeah. show
notes.
Works
for me.
He added that freedom of religion is a sacred right, but is under serious threat. I'm not sure what threat he's talking
well,
about.
Well, that's kind of where I was going to ask.
It's a threat from them on our religious freedom, but I digress. Uh-huh. The Johnson Amendment is a provision in the U.S. tax code that prohibits all 501c3 nonprofit organizations from endorsing or opposing political candidates. 501c3 organizations, most common type of nonprofits in the United States, ranging from charitable foundations to universities and churches. The amendment is named for Senator Lyndon B. Johnson of Texas prior to becoming president.
Right.
So what this does is it literally says that preachers cannot endorse or oppose a candidate from the pulpit. It also says I can't do that while I'm the head of a organization.
Right.
Which I am. So And what it says is that if they are caught politicking in this way, they lose their tax-exempt status.
Right. Now, this is the current.
The current rule with the Johnson Amendment, which has been in place since the 50s.
Right, because we always discuss this when we have our meetings that you run about, okay, we can't do that. Let's move on to another topic. You know, that kind of thing. We're always doing.
But what it does allow is for them to talk about issues. Say, like, they can talk all they want about abortion. They can talk all they want about health care, equal marriage. You know, any issue that comes up, as long as it's not directly about a single candidate.
Right, you right.
They can even talk Republican, Democrat. Doesn't matter. That's issues. Well, they're the those that oppose the Johnson Amendment are saying that it's limiting the free speech of pastors. But it's not.
I was going to say, how so?
Well, because it's not allowing them to openly endorse a candidate.
Okay, but when you look at someone in a church, like a pastor, and they're congregating through the church, and they're endorsing particular person candidate, they have a lot of influence.
That they do.
On that, which is why you can't have that, because all the sheeple would go and follow what he told them to do.
Right. So
because it's been proven time and time again, they keep drinking the Kool-Aid. So, right.
So
I mean,
the pastor, the preacher, whatever, he can endorse all he wants so long as he's not standing at the pulpit as the voice of this organization. Right. Uh-huh. Just like I can endorse privately all I want.
Right.
I just can't do it as
in a
the
group,
voice.
In the 501c.
Right.
Right.
So they're not limiting their free speech. They're just limiting what they can talk about and where
publicly right.
as this nonprofit,
as an organization.
Specifically as this nonprofit.
Right.
Right.
And they want that to go away.
They want that to go away.
Right.
And that raises some huge issues.
You think?
Not just the influence that the pastor would have over the congregation, right? Uh-huh. One of the things 501c3s have to do is report what money comes in and what money goes out.
Right.
It's a requirement.
Right.
You know, I go through this every year.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, churches aren't held to the same standard.
Yeah, I heard about that, and that's total bullshit, by the way.
I agree.
I mean, holy crap.
Yeah, they don't have to report anything. They don't even have to file as 501c3.
Do you realize how much money churches bring in? It's a freaking business. That's what a church is.
Now, let's talk about what the Johnson Amendment and repealing that would do to that. So they already don't have to report the money coming in.
Shit.
They don't have to report the money going out.
Uh-huh.
And they can openly endorse candidates.
Really?
Okay. Now, add to that Citizens United, which says money is speech. Right? So organizations now have free speech and can buy as much political advertising as they wish. Mm-hmm. So now we have an unlimited amount of money, unverifiable amount of money, uncountable amount of money going into a church. Mm-hmm. Don't know where it's going. It could be going to this charitable cause. Could be going to a political organization. We don't know. Johnson Amendment literally keeps them from doing that. Not that they really...
So again, just buying...
Yeah. So you have this huge money laundering thing.
Right.
That some multi-billionaire could throw millions of dollars into a church.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Right? And then the church just hands it out as political endorsement. That's what would happen.
I know. That's what I don't understand. How is this even on the table? I mean, because it's opening up ways to break other laws by doing...
Well, yeah, sort of. Because this is the law that they have to deal with. They've already destroyed the sovereign right of people to have free speech as opposed to corporations.
Uh-huh.
So they said corporations have free speech too. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't like that idea.
Corporations are people.
Corporations are people. That's what Citizens United said.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Sure.
And now they want to allow any corporation to funnel their money through a church, as opposed to a 501c4 political organization, which has requirements on what can be used and what can be donated, right?
Yeah.
So a 501c4 has to report how many people from this organization gave.
Right.
Right. And there's limits on how much a single individual can give in 501c4s.
Oh, okay.
Right. So if you bring this back to Johnson Amendment and you allow 501c3s to do this, that limitation is gone.
Yes.
Yeah, in my understanding of it, I could be wrong, but that's my understanding of how it would work. Uh-huh. Because now you would no longer give your money to a 501c4, you'd start giving it to 501c3s.
Right.
And they would funnel it the right way because they have no accountability.
Just sounds like a bunch of laundering to me.
Yeah, the churches have zero accountability, and that's the worst thing.
Yeah, I really don't understand why is it because they are religious that they get a pass on having to report, but yet all other 501c3s, they have to report.
Yeah.
And just because they don't say they're religious, they're the same damn entities as far as being a 501c3, but they're a church? Who gives a shit?
Right.
I don't understand. It makes absolutely no sense that they don't have to report. There's no reason for it.
And it's not that difficult. The FFRF has sued the IRS almost every year for a long time, trying to get them to enforce these laws.
Because why don't they? What are they getting at? Because people only do shit to get stuff out of it.
No one wants to take on the church. No one in the hierarchy of the IRS has wanted to take on the church. And now that we have a new fascist in chief,
yeah, right.
No one is going to take on the church.
Definitely not
going
to happen now.
No. There's no way.
It really is unbelievable.
Well, at that same event, Vice President Mike Pence told the group that by repealing the Johnson Amendment, we will, quote, take the muzzle off.
So fascist in chief and a prick in second chief.
Theocrat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a cartoon. We're actually going to be able to change the channel soon.
I wish.
I'm telling you.
This has got to be the worst cartoon ever.
I'd like to turn the TV off now.
This is like a Twilight Zone episode.
I'll go back and read a book instead.
Boy, this is just getting frustrating.
I'm telling you, it's insanely crazy. It's like it's not real. It's so bizarre. I mean, and not only that, just the way Trump is behaving, you know, from the get-go, is sworn in. They talk, you know, there's this certain etiquette that you have as president when you don't agree with leaving, yada, yada, yada. And just, you know, certain things you do and the way you hold yourself, whatever. And he's just, like, blowing all that crap out of the water.
Oh,
just
I know.
Doing whatever he wants. He's just, like, astronomically out of control.
Yeah.
And just blowing the history book. I mean, truly. It's going to be embarrassing, the history book.
It is. It
truly is.
They're not going to look very nicely on this section.
It's...
Well, once we get them properly rewritten after the Trump administration destroys them.
Especially the educational.
Ugh.
Because, you know, be able to carry guns for the bears that are going to come and get them.
Grizzlies.
Oh, my Lord. I give that. Anyways.
Well, we've got one more thing before we take off.
You know we have an interview, right?
Is that next on my list?
Nope.
I was going to talk about our interview with Brother Brewer.
Well, that's what I was just saying. We need to get to
the
interview.
Of the Skeptics Brew Pub.
Good one.
It was good. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I think we might one day be on his show.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, we'll play the audio for you, and then we'll come back afterwards. And welcome back to another yakking session. This week we have Brother Brewer from the Skeptics Brew Pub.
You almost couldn't say that.
Oh, yeah. Brother Brewer has done a little bit of everything. He's a former Navy corpsman, banjo store manager, Christian, and Gnostic monk of sorts. He now spends his time brewing beer at home and trying to make the world a better place for his two children through activism and podcasting. His show, Skeptics Brew Pub, combines his passion for politics, religion, and beer, while letting members of the secular, humanist, and atheist communities tell their own stories. Welcome, Brother Brewer.
Well, thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, glad to have you on. It's a real treat to get people on the show.
Now, I'm just curious, before you start, I've caught a couple of your podcasts, but I didn't quite catch where you guys are broadcasting out of.
So we broadcast just north of Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where my brother-in-law was living at for a while.
Oh, cool. And I know you call yourself the Walmart Mecca?
Yes.
Yes. Where exactly is that? Or roughly
I'm in a little town called, I can't say really little, but it's called Rogers, Arkansas. Just north of me is Bentonville, Arkansas, which is the home of Walmart. That's where their home office is at. And the reason I call it Walmart Mecca is because Walmart has this really interesting rule where if any company sells a product through Walmart, they have to have a some kind of a office within driving distance of Walmart's home office. So if it's sold in Walmart, that company has an office in Bentonville. Everybody has to come to Bentonville to deal with Walmart. So that
it's
makes
the
it
most
Walmart
ridiculous
Mecca.
Thing I've ever heard.
I never knew that.
I bet is there like this one office that has like 30 different companies in it or something?
There's a few. I know that down on the square of Bentonville, which is also the county seat for Benton County, that they have DreamWorks had an office there, and I think they've moved. I know the Frito-Lay office is just stone's throw from where I'm at. But they're just kind of scattered out everywhere.
Oh. So that's just really interesting.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it makes our little neck of the woods a little bit more liberal than the rest of the state, because we've also got Fayetteville, Arkansas, is just south of me, and that's where the University of Arkansas is. So it's gradually starting to come into the rest of the world, but they're kicking and screaming in the process.
Yeah, yeah. I bet.
Sounds like it. Well, let's get into who Brother Brewer is, because that's kind of what we do on Secular Yakking. We just talk about stuff.
Okay.
Let's talk about the show, Skeptics Brew Pub. What's the concept and the premise?
Most of it is just my way of it's partly my way of getting to talk to people that I normally wouldn't be able to meet on the street, and just kind of pick their brains and find out a little bit about who they are, what they're doing, what their own journey into secularism was sometimes, or sometimes it's just because they think they have an interesting story to tell, and I want them to come on and just talk about it. I also like to throw in some politics and also talk a little bit about beer because I am a home brewer and I have a passion for all things hoppy. So,
oh, cool.
That's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, I certainly feel that sentiment. I'm not a huge fan of beer. I'm a cider drinker myself, so.
Oh, okay. Now, I've had a few good ciders. I've got a friend out here that brews one. I don't know if you would call it a cider or an apple wine, because by the time he's finished with it, it's about 15% ABV, alcohol by volume. Ooh, so,
that's
and
harsh.
It's weird too.
That will knock me down.
And it's weird too, because it doesn't have that burn, the alcohol burn or the kick that you would get from something that would normally have that much alcohol in it. It's almost like just drinking straight apple juice and you're just hammered before you know it.
Oh, I would so like that.
It actually sounds good. since it won't kill me.
No, I'm a hard liquor drinker, but I like the fact that it doesn't have that kind of bite that you can get.
Yeah, I like
it. It would definitely
like,
be.
Yeah, I like the hard liquors too, but there's just something about a good beer for me that, plus I started brewing mainly to find out how it works, and I like doing it, so I just kept up with it.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, I could see that. I've heard that before from other people, actually.
Yeah. It seems like brewing is actually pretty big in the atheist community. There's quite a few brewers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are. It's growing quite a bit, at least the hobby itself is, because a lot of people like to drink, and especially right now we don't know where everything's headed. It's a good idea to be able to make your own just in case.
Yeah, right.
That's true. The moral majority is coming back.
Yeah, right.
Oh man, I tell you, you know you're in bad company when Michael Moore and Dick Cheney both are telling you that you've got a bad idea. That's,
Oh yeah. Well, it gets worse when people like Lindsey Graham team up with you.
Yeah, when Lindsey Graham says you're a little too far to the right, you need to start looking at yourself.
I agree. Oh man, politics is driving me crazy lately. It really is.
I know. It used to be, for me, the presidential election, since I was about 12 years old and was in my civics classes, politics, especially the presidential ones, they were like my Super Bowl. Everybody get riled up about their favorite teams, and I would sit there and just root for the politicians. And just
sounds like my average time.
You know, and just follow it like nothing. But it turns out that politics and religion are two things you're not supposed to talk about in public, so I never had anything to talk about with people.
Yeah, I get that feeling.
Yeah, I can see that.
Speaking of, let's talk about how you came out of your Christianity.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
How did that happen?
Well, I am probably one of the few people that will tell you that it was because of a debate with someone over a Josh Feuerstein video that finally was the final straw.
Wow.
Interesting.
And what happened with that was I've been, along with, like I said, politics and religion have always been two of my favorite pastimes. With religion, it was a lot of studying the histories. I got interested in Joseph Campbell early on. I grew up in a Pentecostal home, but that never made sense to me. And then I discovered Joseph Campbell. From there, I had a friend that, or a girl, actually, that I had a big crush on that was getting involved in Wicca. So I jumped into that bandwagon and just kind of maneuvered through all kinds of different religions, finally settled back into Christianity of the Episcopal flavor about the time that, or before my son was born. And that was because my wife wanted a christening for our child. And that was the only way I knew to be able to do that and not become Catholic was to check out the Episcopal Church at least. And I liked what they did because it's Catholic light. If you've ever been to an Episcopal church or spoken to an Episcopalian, they are, it's one of the jokes is that they're like Unitarians with liturgy. They have all the pomp and circumstance of the Catholic Church and all of the theology of the Unitarian Universalists. And from there, I joined a thing called their theology pub where they would sit in a local tavern and talk about different books on religion, where I got introduced into Gnosticism, which is just as liberal as the Episcopal Church, but it's more like if you took the ritual of the Catholic Church and added in 19th century occultism.
that sounds like fun, actually.
It was interesting. And I got interested in it partly because of the philosophical side of it and the psychological aspects of Gnosticism about, you know, peeling back the layers to discover who you really are and who God really is and all of this kind of thing. And in the process, I'd also – this is like a long story, but in the process, I'd also been listening to a lot of Bible scholars like Robert M. Price and people like that that would teach the Bible, but they would teach it in from a perspective of someone that's not a believer, so they would get into the history. And it was the Feuerstein video when I finally got into an argument with my stepmother because she had posted one where he talked about what Jesus would have said about homosexuality.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah, it was – I listened to it, and I actually took the time to listen to it before I went after it. And I decided to take – instead of a lot of people will use the argument from ignorance or that basically that they say, well, Jesus never said any – the argument from silence that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, so how can you – say that he would be against it. The argument that I tried to take instead was more of a, well, we've got on this side here that we're taking the word of someone that wrote down what Moses said, that an angel said, that God said that you shouldn't do. It's going through three or four sources before it gets to you. And that's holy writ. You cannot break that in any ways when it comes to the homosexuality thing. But my sister has been divorced twice. And when you look at that commandment about divorce, that came from, if you are a fundamentalist, that Jesus basically came down to earth, stood up in front of everybody and said, don't divorce, that's bad. Two people wrote it down in two different gospels that he said that. So you're a lot less sources to go through, but we can ignore that one that he actually said. And I was like, why? What's the disconnect there? And she immediately threw every clobber passage in the Bible at me in one shot. And I don't know if you're familiar with what the clobber passages are, but there are seven particular passages in the Bible that supposedly deal with homosexuality. And she threw all of those at me, and I said, okay, well, again, and went through each one of the – all of these here are, you know, third and fourth accounts until you get to Paul, and Paul never met Jesus. So, right. You know, he's getting this from what his own view is and what he's read in the Old Testament. So, again, he's not getting this from the source. This other thing that you're ignoring is coming straight from the source. What's so big about it? And then it hit me that I was having to go through, and there was a lot of learning that I had to do to get to the point where I could, you know, construct that kind of an argument. But where my stepmom was coming from, she basically has a ninth grade education. To give you an idea, she believed that the reason that there was a hole in the ozone was because we were firing rockets into space and it was poking holes in the ozone layer.
Wow.
Well, it kind of makes sense.
It makes sense if you don't understand how gases work.
From a very elementary standpoint.
Yeah, that was her basis. And I'm like, But she has access to all the same information that I do.
Right.
But, you know, with her understanding that this is what she comes up with. The guys that wrote this stuff down knew even less. So if anybody is closer to what, quote unquote, God's truth is, it's going to be her rather than me because of all of the extra steps that I had to go through. But that doesn't make sense. So, and so I sat down and I was like, okay, well, I already got rid of hell. You know, I don't believe in a hell. I don't believe in biblical inerrancy. I don't believe, you know, I was even a Christian mythicist, if you can believe that.
That's an interesting position to have.
Yeah, I actually argued with an atheist about the existence of Jesus from the perspective of a Christian that didn't believe in a historical Jesus. But wow. I'd even thrown that away, and all of this was because I couldn't, you know, nothing made the evidence and the arguments didn't back it up. So what about with God? And I ran it through my head, and I was finally like, well, shit, God's not real. What the hell do I do now?
Yeah, that's generally how it goes.
You know, so it was a long process to get there, but when it finally hit, it was like within a 10-minute time frame of all of these arguments running through my head. And it was like, now what? I don't get it.
Yeah, I think we've all pretty much been there, or most of us have.
Well, yeah, the journey is usually a long, not a instant from one to another kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, but there's also that moment. Yeah, there's also that moment that everybody has, like, damn it, I don't believe anymore. So
actually, for me, it was like, yeah, this is cool. this is much better.
well, like I kind of said in the bio that I sent you, you know, at this point, I was even somewhat of a Gnostic monk. I was very, even though I wasn't a fundamentalist, I was still very religious and very spiritual. And so this idea of God was central to my life. And it's like within this short time frame, I'm suddenly like, now what? My whole center's gone. So,
right.
That got me into listening to or finding atheist arguments in podcasts. And from there, that's where Brother Brewer was born, pretty much.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Brother Brewer. Why?
Okay.
Pseudonym, right?
Yes.
Obviously. So why? Why a pseudonym?
Well, because even though I am out and proud as an atheist in most things, I work for a Catholic hospital. And so I do not, number one, I don't want the podcast itself to affect my job. And so I use the pseudonym when I'm writing, and I've even changed my Facebook name so that it's also similar to that pseudonym. But also there are the hospital has a policy that I can't talk bad about certain policies that they have. And so with the pseudonym, I'm a little bit safer if I want to jump into something like reproductive rights or something along those lines and not have to worry about losing my job. So right. That's...
I certainly agree with you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's really sad that we live in a society where we have to take some people have to take pseudonyms to protect their livelihood.
That's
it's
true.
Really ridiculous.
And the reason I decided with Brother Brewer was because as a Gnostic quasi monk, I was actually a brother, a member of a religious order. Plus, I brew beer, so I just threw those two together, and there you go.
That works.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of you remember Kevin Costner's Robin Hood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Friar Tuck. He introduced everybody to the joys of beer.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of, one of the things I'd like to ask a guest is, do you have a favorite movie quote?
Oh, let's see.
Right on the spot.
Yeah, right on the spot. A lot of our show is based on, or a lot of our little cutting comments and stuff like that are based on movie quotes. And
okay. Yeah, some of the things that we tend to say, but yeah.
Well, there's so many good movies and so many good quotes.
I know, that's kind of like
it's a tough one. That's a hard one. I know, word. I like to make you think.
I would probably, my favorite of all time... I'm thinking I'm going to have to either go with As You Wish.
Ooh, good one.
Or another one of my favorites, which comes from, of course, the movie Spaceballs. What's that coming out of her nose? Spaceballs? Oh, shit. There goes the planet.
That's a good one, too.
Actually, two of my favorite movies right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, we tend to quote those often.
Yeah, well, every time you ask me to do something, I just say, as you wish.
Well, you've been saying that for years.
Well, yeah, but yeah. What I do.
No, that's, you know, that's kind of standard.
Yeah.
It's classic.
It is classic.
Yeah, movies are another thing that I love. The cheesier the movie, the better. I mean,
yeah,
I just...
I tend to agree with you.
I'm a big U-Bowl fan, so you know I've seen just about every movie that he's directed.
That's some crazy stuff there.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen The Room yet, though. That's the one that I've been avoiding.
I think I've seen that.
I haven't seen that one yet either.
That one, the big quote out of that one is, "You're tearing me apart, Lisa!" So.
Now I have to go watch it.
Yeah, right?
Oh, it is a train wreck from what I've heard. And the clips that I've seen from it, Tommy Wiseau wrote, directed, and starred in it. And he's right up there with Ed Wood and U-Bowl. I mean, it's...
Oh, wow. So that's getting up there on the crazy train.
Yeah, they get pretty bad there.
Definitely have to go watch it.
Definitely. It's one that, of course, like I said, I've been avoiding it, but it's mostly because it's become one of those cult classics, kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show, where people actually have parties to sit and watch this movie.
That's cool.
All right. Now you've, yeah, definitely.
We have to go watch it now.
I have to go look it up now.
Yep.
Very cool. So, let's do the hard part and get some contact info out there.
Okay, well, let's see. You can find my show. It's on Spreaker. If you go to Spreaker, that's the hard way to do it. But if you go to skepticsbrewpub.com, you'll find a player embedded on the homepage where you can get the show itself. I can be contacted. My Facebook page is facebook.com/beerandblasphemy. I have the email is brotherbrewer@skepticsbrewpub.com. I do have Twitter, but I never use it. So... But those are pretty much the best ways to get a hold of me.
Very cool. And you said you do a live show?
I do, yes. As a matter of fact, finished up with interviewing Chris Watson just about an hour ago.
Oh, cool. We had him on a couple weeks ago. Right. Yeah. So when can they catch your live show? Because this will obviously be done in
okay, well, the live show hits Monday nights. It's 8:30 Central Time, which I think is going to be about 6:30 Pacific, which is your area.
Right.
And if you don't catch it live, you can still catch it through the app, or you can find it. It's on it'll be on YouTube, iTunes, Spreaker, any podcatchers out there will have the archives.
Cool. Very cool. Well, we'll put all that in the show notes so that people.
Oh,
can
one other thing I forgot too is I also have a thing I call it the Bozo of the Week, and that's if you yeah, have if you have someone that's kind of like Ishmael Brown's little thing. That if you have someone that's kind of well known, either local to your area or nationally, that you think deserves to be razzed, you can send me a message of who they are and a quick link to their newspaper site, and then I will go in and read them off as one of the nominations for Bozo of the Week, except for Trump, because Donald Trump is actually the brew pub's Bozo Emeritus, just like the Pope.
Well, that's funny because he's our Potter. Emeritus.
Yep.
Our Mr. Potter Award.
He can't
forever.
Be topped.
Yeah, all he has to do is wake up in the morning and you still have material. So it's too easy. Yeah. It's low hanging fruit.
It is.
It really is.
That's why I avoided him for so long for being a Potter Award until he actually became president and then hammered him.
Yeah. Just made him emeritus and he's just there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel it's too easy.
Yeah. So very cool. Maybe we'll find some Bozos of the Week for you.
Okay, yeah, and if you do, just send them my way.
Will do. All right, well, this has been a great little talk we've had.
Yak session.
Yak session.
Mm-hmm. Yep, well, one thing I love to do is yak, so. That doesn't mean I got a hairy animal in my backyard either.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
What the heck? I think we just found our soundbite.
Yak session.
Yeah. Well, that was even more enjoyable.
I do voices too on the side, so.
Okay, cool.
Obviously.
All right, well, thanks for coming on, Brother Brewer.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's been great.
All right, we'll talk at you later.
Bye.
See you later.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. I really did.
It was very enjoyable. But I think that is all we have for today, because we've gone quite long today.
Yeah, we have. And I'll make sure all of Brother Brewer's contact information is stuck in the show notes. You're starting to learn the lingo.
Oh, please.
It only took 87 episodes.
How hard is it to say show notes and know what that means? It's not that hard.
Mm, sure.
I'm still not doing it. Anyways, I'm done. I'm tired.
That's all the hiking we got. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
We're taking.
Bye-bye! Bye.